upon me.
Amen.
Turn with me to Ezekiel. Our scriptural affirmation comes from a very popular part of scripture, chapter 37, starting at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest.
Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live.
And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring out flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord.
So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone.
And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them.
Then he said unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dry, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves.
And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your holy land. And then shall you know that I am the Lord that have spoken it and performed it.
Father, today may we know that you are the Lord. May we recognize that you are the Lord. It's only as you reveal yourself to us that we get it. Reveal yourself to us in a way that we understand, grasp, and that we believe, and that we live in ways that are in line with what we say we believe. That we live in line with who we say you are, and that you would show yourself strong on behalf of your people for your glory. Be glorified in this place, this day. Thank you for being here, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Just to breathe you in. To be filled with you, to be filled with your presence, to be filled with all that you are, so that when the world looks at us, they see you, Help us to be men and women who let our light so shine among men that they see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Help us. To be so submersed in you that you are the very air that we breathe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you look around at life, it's absolutely, positively amazing what we see. And for me, it just reminds me of the importance of the Word of God. You know, we quote all the time that the Word of God is quick and powerful. That means alive and active, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to cut through the mess of life. To slice open so that you can see down into the guts of things. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow. Things that you can't even understand how they can be separated, the Word of God can separate. It knows you. He knows you. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. He understands you. He understands the situation around you. He understands us. And that is really a fascinating thing. And so it's fortunate for me that I am allowed the privilege of sharing with you the Word of God. And every once in a while you'll run across a passage that's so resonates with your heart. You'll run across a passage that just so reverberates with the beat of life that you are just absolutely amazed. For me, the case of that comes when I reach the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, an Old Testament prophet who saw amazing, wondrous things, scary stuff. Because when Ezekiel spoke, he often spoke of the bad things that were going to happen to Israel because of the bad things that they had done. And he had said some things that were tough to say. Another thing about Ezekiel is I said, well, you know, if he's speaking prophetically and I'm supposed to stand up and share the Word of God and this prophetic word, and those were scary. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear, you know, doom and gloom and all of that. And he had to share some things that were so amazing and so awesome. But he also shared what it was like to be in the presence, the manifest presence of the living God. How awesome it would be if we saw God ride up into the parking lot on his chariot. How awesome it would be if we could see the creatures that attend him. It would blow our mind. I tell you, if we could just for a moment pull back the curtain and see into the spiritual world, half of us would probably just pass out. The other half would run away because it's so very, very awesome and amazing. And so Today we want to talk about when the word of the Lord comes to Ezekiel, because he has a very special message, and this is clearly directly spoken to the people of physical Israel, but I believe it has application for us today. You see, this has application for us to grasp today. I don't want you to leave here without grasping how important this is for us. It's not just a fine story. It's not just an interesting thing that they make songs about. This has something to do with how we should now live. It's incredibly important. In verse 36, chapter 37, verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me. He was there, and God had him. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. He needed the very power of God to make this move. Carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. When you look around in Garrettsville and Manaway and Windham, what do you see? Do you see life, or do you recognize how much death is all around you? I think this was a pulling back of the curtain so that we could see the real state of things. Ezekiel was seeing things as they really were. He set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. It was Champagne, the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. They were very dry. You ever walk in among the people, and you look around, and you see this person? Boy, they're nice and they're dressed well, and gee, they don't know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, you're just a dead man walking. Oh, there's this drunk coming out of the bar in the middle of town. Oh, they're laughing and joking, but they're just dead men's bones walking around. Oh, if God would only open our eyes to see that much of what we see is just dead men's bones moving around. That there are people, and we, if we were to see their real state, would recognize that they are separated from God, and when you're separated from God, you have no life. You have no life. If he could only make that real to us today, to understand separation from him means there is no life. It caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. There was no life there. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Could you imagine if God came to you today and asked these dead people walking around in the places that you go to, these dead people that are walking around when you go play basketball, these dead people that are walking around when you go out to the movies, these dead people that are walking around when you're in Rite Aid, these dead people all over, can those folks live? And you're going, like, you're asking me, God? You're asking me? That had to be how he felt. He said, and I answered, oh, Lord God, thou knowest. You're the one that knows. I don't know. Can these folks live? Thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. He's being told he has to have nerve to go out in the middle of a valley full of death and say, I'm supposed to tell you something. I'm supposed to declare what God has to say to you. Now, our problem is we don't even think that they can hear us. Our problem is, well, they're dead, Lord. How are they going to hear us? Dead men can't talk, they can't hear, they can't feel. Why are we bothering even to speak to them? He didn't ask, he told him to prophesy to them, to speak to them, to declare to them, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. That breath is an interesting word. In the Hebrew, we use it for three different things. We use it for wind, we use it for breath, and we use it for spirit. Same word. And it says, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. He's telling these dead things to hear, and that this is what I need to tell you from God, that breath is going to enter into you and you are going to live. Now, one thing about dead things, especially the dead things walking, they don't want to hear that they're dead. They have a very difficult time understanding, what do you mean I'm dead? I'm walking like you are. I'm talking like you are. I'm doing what you're doing. Are you dead too? And you have to admit that without Jesus, I'd be just as dead as you. Dead. I will cause breath to enter into you and ye shall live. I will lay sinews, I will lay muscle upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and ye shall live. Ye shall know that I am the Lord. You know how salvation is. One day you just come to the realization. It wasn't something that you were able to grasp. It's a revelation of God. He reveals through something maybe someone said, or maybe the way a leaf fell from a tree. Who knows what it was? But one day God moved and you understood that you were called by him before the foundation of the world. He so loved you that he had called you to life. He shall know that I am the Lord. Do you know that he's the Lord today? Do you have nerve enough to tell other dead things that they will know that he is the Lord. You know, that's a hard thing. Can you imagine yourself? This would be like akin to going out to the cemetery and standing on a grave somewhere and saying, "You shall live." See, the problem is we don't see our society rightly. We see our society as alive and vibrant and maybe just in need of a little adjustment. I see our society as in need of resurrection. Our society is dead, and we are dead because we are children of Adam. And our foreparents sinned. And when they sinned, death came upon us. Separation from God. And we need to be reconciled with God. Brought back together with God. God needs to move in us so that we might live. We need to live. We need him. So I prophesied. He did what he was called to do. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. This must have been one of the funniest sights. Some of the older of us folks here will remember Jason and the Argonauts. And there's a scene in Jason and the Argonauts where these skeletons come to life, you know? Clink, 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 clink. And they're ready to fight. They've come to life. You know, and it's hilarious. And you've got these humans fighting with these skeletons. And that's what this reminds me of so much. It was, behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. That must have been gross looking. It's like Steve and Luke out in the woods gutting a deer. That's some nasty stuff, you know? Butt-shot deer, and they're up there trying to fix this thing, and it's like, ooh, nasty. But it'll be some good eating later. Just let's not talk about what it looked like getting there. Sometimes we don't need to talk about what it looks like getting there. But we understand that it's a process, and there was this, the muscles came on first, and then the flesh came on the muscles, and that was weird looking, and then all of a sudden you see this stuff going on and the skin covered them. And they looked alive. But there was no breath in them. I'm going to tell you, a lot of us look alive, but there's no life in us. We look alive. People look at us and say, that looks good. Man, but there's no life in us. We don't yet have the Spirit of God moving in us. We've got to have nerve enough to say, it looks good, but it ain't real. Flesh came upon them and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. We need the Spirit of God. Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. O Spirit of the living God, breathe upon us. Oh, Spirit of the living God, fill us that we might live. Oh, Spirit of the living God, we need you. We need you to fill us. We need you to animate us. We need you to change us. We need you. We're not just trying to be politically correct. We're not just trying to be so that we look okay. We're not just trying to get along. We want to do much, much, much more than that. We want to live. We want to have life. Oh, Lord, we need life. That we might live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived. Do you believe that you can speak and life will come? And breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Look at this army. We're an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. I like to think, these bones are the whole house of First Baptist. It's us. It's us, O Lord, in the need of prayer. It's us. It's us, O Lord, that needs your Spirit. It's us. It's us that needs your presence in our lives. It's us that needs you, that wants you, that desires you. It's us. It's us, O Lord. Behold, they say, our bones are dried. I know we feel weak sometimes. I know we feel dead sometimes. Our hope is lost. We'll never be any more than we are right now. We'll never be able to get this thing right. We are cut off for our parts. Like I've said before, the best we could be is a bad example. No, it's not us. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, are you his people? Are you his people? Are you his people? If we're his people, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. You've got to recognize that you were in a grave. You've got to recognize that you were lost and apart from him. You've got to recognize that you need to come up out of something. I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, into the place where God has given you, unto this place where the King is our Lord and Savior, into this place that God is in absolute control, so that even now we are ambassadors, and everywhere we are is a place for the Spirit of God, and we are inhabited with the Spirit of God. We're another brick in the wall of the building of God, of the body of God. We're just another cell as a part of all of these things. We are a part of him. We belong to him. We've been brought into his body. We have been made for a building to inhabit his dwelling. Oh, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. We're going to know him more and more and more. We know that he is God, and we are in awe. We We know that He is the Lord. And we will live in such a way that everyone that sees us will recognize that there is a God in heaven. I shall put my spirit in you, shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it. I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. Notice that he didn't say, I spoke it and you performed it. He says, I performed it. I did it, says the Lord. It's a fantastic thing. Do you believe that he's doing that with us now? That he's changing us, incrementally changing us from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. And the purpose is that we would be made to be like Christ so that his glory is spread out over the whole earth. That's what we're all about today. One more little verse. In chapter 36, verse 26, we're just going to do one verse. I'll make it 25, we'll do two verses. You see, God is moving on us. I'm here to tell you that today. Just like he moved on Israel. And he says here in verse 25 in chapter 36, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. You know, in the past, sometimes even maybe presently, we've messed up. And if he doesn't cleanse us, we can't be clean. But he says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. He keeps us clean. The blood of Christ keeps us clean. But not only are we clean on the outside, our lives are different on the inside. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart, the one that's not responsive, the one that doesn't get it. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. A heart that is responsive, a heart that gets it, a heart that is his. This is our time. He's changing us. Will you live? So that all the world will know that he is Lord. Lord, we know that you are the Lord. Maybe you need to repent today to say, Lord, I've wallowed in filthiness for so long. It's not necessarily a filthiness everybody can see, but it's separate from you. And today, I just need to be clean. Today, I need to confess my sin. And I believe that if I confess my sin, you are faithful to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I will know that you are God. I don't know how that's going to play out every day in my life, but I know it's real. And today, this day, I surrender myself to you. And I know that you are God. I thank you for showing me all the dry bones around me. And now, Lord, let my compassion, let your compassion turn me toward these folks so that I might speak to them and they might live. We have a purpose, folks, that we would speak and people might live. Look around you. There's lots of dead men and women walking. And we've been given the command to speak to them that they might live. Lord, thank you for moving on us today. As Steve and Luke are playing, I ask that you would just consider your response. Have you seen the dry bones? Have you taken on the muscle? In Ephesians, it says that we have everything that we need. Have you taken that on today? Today is the day. Respond as God leads you.